For our scripture reading, Darren has selected Colossians 1, 15 through 23, a beautiful passage centering us on Jesus Christ. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Darren, please come and teach us from the word of God.
Thanks, Eugene. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you today. Happy Mother's Day. Happy May 10th. It's good to be with you. If we have not had a chance to meet yet, my name is Darren Johnson. I'm one of the newer pastors here at PBCC, and I'm really glad that you're with us today, worshiping with us. And I'm really excited about this new sermon series that we're going to jump into this morning that I'll get to in just a moment. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Does anybody remember the old Bill and Gloria Gaither song from the 1970s? Raise your hand if you remember this, okay? Here are the lyrics. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Know that song? You're probably singing it, some of you, in your head. I remember growing up and my parents singing that song in church. And when I hear the word and hear the names Jesus and hear the name of Jesus repeated over and over again, it brings me back to that old song from the 70s. But what we know about Jesus is that Jesus is more than just a name. It's absolutely everything that Jesus says and does, who he is. Everything about him is different, is transformative, and is life-changing. When doing a Google Gemini AI search on the top most significant and influential people of all time, don't look right now, stay focused here. There are a lot of names that populate that list. Past presidents, intellectual superstars, violent destroyers of human life. But on the top of nearly every list is the name of the man known as Jesus of Nazareth. And these are not lists that are compiled by Christian individuals. The way that Jesus has impacted human civilization over the past 2,000 years is undeniable. Establishing systems and value and caring for the poor, the least of these among us. Establishing and being at the root of the founding of hospitals and orphanages. Enhancing the dignity and the value of human life at every level of society. and so many more things. We could list a whole, I could deluge you with all kinds of information and the ways in which Jesus has impacted human history. To say that he is the most significant human being to ever live is an understatement. But at the core of his influence, which undergirds everything that people have done as a result of the life and ministry of Jesus, is his individual influence in transformations of human beings like you and I, one by one. We are sitting here today because Jesus has changed us to the core. If I were to ask you how Jesus has impacted you, we would, all of us in this room would have our varied stories. For me, it was a 12-year-old boy who felt like the world was against him, and for whom Jesus very clearly said to me as a 12-year-old young man, "Darren, I'll be your friend. Come follow me." Today we're going to begin a new sermon series leading us through the Gospel of Mark. And in this series, we'll be looking more intently into this man, this individual who has changed not only the entire course of human history, let that sink in for a moment, the entire course of human history, but this man has changed our very lives as well. Now, this morning is going to be a little different as we kick off this series because we're going to be setting some background as we get into Mark's gospel. And as I've been preparing and working towards what to share with you this morning, there are some interesting points of application that emerged in the preparation that came to the surface even before we get into the first verse of Mark. It's amazing how the Word of God has a way of impacting us even before we start reading it. And so I plan to share several points of application with you this morning with the hope that one or two of these points will stick with you today. We all know that one size doesn't always fit all. And we know that people, as I look around this space and in this room this morning, that we are all in different places this morning. We all have different needs, different burdens, different joys, different complexities that we bring with us into this place. But the good news is that Jesus knows where you are, he sees you, and he knows exactly what we all need this morning. And so I hope that some of the points that I'm going to share this morning will have an impact in the varied ways that God's Spirit may want to speak to us, each of us this morning. So the title of our new sermon series is Jesus is Good News. And we're going to be looking again at the life and the teachings of Jesus throughout the Gospel of Mark. Now, what might be interesting here as you look at this statement is that I didn't say that the title of our series is that Jesus taught the good news, and that he did, that Jesus knew the good news, and he certainly knew the good news, but that Jesus is in fact good news. And so as we start this morning, we're going to talk about a couple of very important concepts at the very beginning of this series in this statement, Jesus is good news. There are a few words that stand out in this statement to us this morning. Obviously, the name of Jesus stands out. That's a pretty profound name and term. But also the verb is and the predicate, which describes who or what Jesus is. Good news. Now, for many of us, we've been taught that the good news has often been reduced to some catchphrases, some cognitive or some phrases that we are called to cognitively give mental assent to. But the good news or the gospel, this is the same word, euangelion, good news, gospel, same word, interchangeable. In English, we use two different ways to communicate it. It's the same word. The good news, the gospel, is more than just some declarative theological concepts or statements, but the good news is an actual person in everything that this person said and did. For example, if I ask the question, what is the gospel? You might share some things back and say, well, the gospel is that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, that your sins can be forgiven, that you can spend eternity with God in heaven. And these statements are all true. They're all very true statements, but not one of them standing alone completely captures the fullness of what the good news, what the gospel is, according to what Jesus said. That's because the gospel is not summed up in a statement or even a series of statements, but the gospel is summed up in a person, and that is Jesus himself. Jesus is the gospel. Mark is going to tell us a story about the life and teachings of a real life person who is known as the good news. And so every time Jesus shows up in the Gospels and we see him saying something, we see him doing something, we are seeing, hearing, and experiencing the good news, the gospel of Jesus. In the words of the great scholar, preacher, theologian, N.T. Wright, look at these words. I know that's maybe a lot on one screen. I maybe should have broken it into two screens. Jesus is the gospel in person. Jesus called what he was doing gospel, and he wasn't just doing it as well as, he was doing it as well as saying it. Because the gospel isn't just a message about something that might happen to us. It is a new reality born through Jesus, energized through his spirit, catching us up within it to be gospel people. You see that action? To be gospel people. People who in and of ourselves, as well as what we say, are signs of the good news that the living God is reclaiming, redeeming, transforming his creation at last. So the good news isn't just about where you will go when you die, but the good news is that you can experience eternal life today. Living as a servant under the lordship of Jesus. And that lordship of Jesus is not an inconsequential or an insignificant statement. Good news is wrapped up in a forgiveness and a totality of our life given over in complete abandon to Jesus as our Lord and Savior and the one that guides us to live our lives according to the way he lived his life. And so we will endeavor and we desire to live out the teachings, both as individuals and as a church, to live out the life and teachings of Jesus in our broken world with God in us and by us, by God's Spirit working through us. The good news is that Jesus is with you. Jesus is with us right now. He's in you. He's around you. He's giving life to you in every way that you need life. And he's wanting to use you to make his life and his light a reality known and experienced by people around you. Jesus doesn't just give us the good news for us to have. He gives us the good news for us to be a vessel, to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and that good news to the world around us. This is also good news. The heading of the Gospel of Mark helps us with this understanding. The Gospel of Mark is also known as the good news of Mark. Again, the same word. In one sense, Mark's gospel is about Mark, his sharing the good news about something or someone, and that's Jesus. But in another sense, it's not ultimately Mark's good news that he's sharing, but it's God's good news about Jesus as told by Mark. So most Bibles will say the gospel or the good news according to Mark, as Mark sees it, as Mark recollects it. Communicates it. And so the point is clear. Mark is going to share with us some very good news about a person and his life and his teachings, Jesus. And so it's here where I want to pause and present a challenge or a point of application for us this morning. Knowing that the good news or the gospel of Jesus is found in the life and the ministry and the teachings of Jesus, and because we know that this good news is essential to our belief and actions as Christians, we should make it a regular practice to read and apply a gospel account story on a consistent basis. For some in their Bible reading, is what, you know, people will focus on reading. Maybe you have a daily habit of reading and reflecting on the scriptures. Some read an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, and maybe a psalm. Everybody in this room is probably all over the map in terms of what you read. But how might inserting a Jesus story into your daily food diet of the scriptures benefit you and align you for that day. We could argue that this is perhaps the very first thing that we should ever read and think about in the morning, is looking at the life, teaching, and ministry of Jesus in small, at least small snippets, as a marker, as a guide for our day. What do we know about this guy, Mark, who wrote this gospel account? Well, his name was John Mark, and he was Peter's interpreter. He's recounting Peter's account of the events of Jesus. It was written in Rome around in the mid-60s AD. It was the first gospel account. And John Mark is this rather obscure character. He shows up in the book of Acts in a few places, but is quickly overshadowed by the bigger names in Acts, the names of Barnabas and Paul and Peter. And so here's another interesting point of application for us, and that is that God can and wants to use anyone. And he often uses the least likely that we would think to do great things for him. Mark was not a big-time name in the early church. He was an interpreter of, like, Peter. Like, Peter's like one of the top dudes, right? He was an interpreter. He recounted Peter's understanding. Yet look at how God has used John Mark, his gospel account, the impact that this gospel has had for the last 2,000 years. God wants to use you. God wants to use me to make an impact in this world for him. Your lack of ability is likely your greatest ability to make an impact for Jesus. Your lack of ability is likely your greatest opportunity and ability to make an impact for Jesus, because it doesn't rest on you, it doesn't rest on me, it rests on God's ability to work in and through us uninhibited as we present ourselves to God fully open and available for him to work in us and use us. Now, what's also interesting in this gospel account, Mark is also more, this is really intriguing to me when looking kind of an overview of the gospel, that Mark is more concerned, get this, about the actions of Jesus, what Jesus did, than the content of what he taught. Mark was more concerned about what to do rather than what to know. Knowing is important, but not ever at the expense of doing. And so a third point of application, just here in the very early stages of what we're looking at, is that Jesus is more concerned with our actions and our transformation than our knowledge, skills, and professional accomplishments. Friends, Jesus is more concerned with who you are and the person that you're becoming than what you know, how much money you've made, how much money you have in your 401k account, what you've accomplished in life, etc. In God's eyes, life is a journey of transformation, not a journey of accomplishments, not a journey of education, not that those things aren't important, but not at the expense of who you are becoming and how your life and your actions are changing as a result of our intersection and exposure to this great individual, Jesus. So even before we get into the text, the setting and the context teach us some very important things this morning. And we should make it a regular practice to read and apply a gospel account story on a consistent basis. Maybe that's something that for some of you, just that's all you need to hear. You're done. You can, I'm ready to leave now. That was great. I got that figured out. I'm going to focus in. I'm going to drill down in that area. I've shared that many times that I work with student athletes, and I was at a student athlete training session last Sunday night, and one of our leaders that was there just made a point of mentioning as an athlete, one of the things that she really appreciated is just to be challenged, and just say, just give me a challenge to get after it and do it, you know. And so there's this sense of like, set the bar up a little higher, and then I'll work with God's help to reach that challenge. And so that may be for some of you this morning, that challenge. Make a commitment to read each morning some gospel story of Jesus each day, asking Jesus to shape you through that reading and see how your day may look different. See how you may look, your eyes may be transformed to look and see things the way Jesus does that day. It's a very active way of reading and paying attention to the scripture. We also just mentioned that God wants to use you to make an impact in this world for him. He wants to use all of us. And that Jesus is more concerned with our actions and our transformation than our knowledge, skill, and professional accomplishments. So that's just kind of the start. That's kind of laying the groundwork in some of the context of where we're headed in this series. Now I want to jump into the opening verse of Mark's gospel. I'm sorry, we're not making it through one verse this morning. I tried, but we would be here for another hour. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. You may be thinking when you look at that, why do we need to spend the next half of the sermon focused on one verse? This is a pretty significant verse. It is not a mistake that Mark opens his gospel with this verse. Look with me at several of the words and phrases as we begin this verse. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It's interesting here that the use of beginning here in Mark's gospel likely has ties, as it did for John. And we, a lot of us in the scholastic world, believe that John got his cues from Mark's writing, being Mark being the first gospel account. And we know in John, if you read John chapter 1, there's a very clear allusion in John 1 to the beginning, right? And that allusion draws all the way back to Genesis 1:1. And so John Mark, his use of beginning has these ties to creation. Mark is wanting the reader to see this gospel of Jesus as a new beginning of sorts. A new beginning, a new creation, a new way forward. Mark is setting the stage for a monumental story on par and better than in the beginning God created. In Genesis 1:1, Mark's saying, the beginning, part two, or maybe the part that preceded part one in terms of importance. This is a story that will change the course of human history. He moves on. He says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Let's just be honest. There's a lot of bad news in our world today. Take one look at your social media news feed or turn on your TV, read your local or national newspaper, and we are inundated with all kinds of bad news in our world today. I was talking to Brian Hoover a while back, and he was telling me about how he and Linda will sit down with the newspaper and read through and pray through the news articles. And they got this idea from PBCC missionary Barb Metzler, who taught them to only consume as much news as you can pray for each day. Pretty wise, pretty insightful. But Mark here tells us that Jesus is all about good news. The news feeds about Jesus is nothing but good news. In the original language, as I've shared before, gospel and good news are the same word, euangelion. And this word was used in Jesus' day and prior to Jesus' time, really ascribing this concept of good news or glad tidings as it relates to kings and the kingdoms in which they lived within and ruled over. So there was this idea that when there was victory in battle, this was good news, euangelion, proclaiming good news, or enthronement of a new king, euangelion, this is good news. Or the birth of a Roman Empire, euangelion, this is good news. Which, if you think about it, is a bit presumptuous. Good news wasn't necessarily good news for the people under that king, especially if that king wasn't any good. That ain't good news for me. But it was kind of this language that was used during that time. And so the good news that Mark advocates is really a different kind of good news. In Isaiah, there's a reference here to good news as well. I'm going to get into this as we get into next week into verses 2 and 3. But Isaiah uses this concept of good news in referring to God's end time deliverance. And Jesus very clearly, I think, is drawing on Isaiah as he announces his good news. He's drawing people to understand there's a prophetic utterance that goes back to Isaiah that now is being fulfilled in their presence. We'll see more of this in verse 2. So for Mark, Jesus is the gospel in person. Mark's account of the life of Jesus is telling a good story full of good news about this man Jesus and everything that he said and did. What is good news about Jesus? Well, many of us could probably fill in the blank. In some ways, that statement could be answered subjectively. How has Jesus been good news to you? And each one of us can have different stories of how the life, ministry, and teachings of Jesus has impacted our lives. What we see in Jesus is a man who loved unconditionally, who by his coming told us that we were worth it to die for us, to give us new life, who didn't give up on us in the ways that we sin and fall short and say, too bad. But he loves us in the place of that sin and that brokenness and that alienation from God, and wants to free us from sin that imprisons us, and wants us to live in freedom and love towards him and others. This, friends, is good news. Jesus saves us from things, and he saves us to things. He saves us from death and destruction and sin that destroys our lives, and he saves us to a resurrected, transforming life that experiences his light and love each and every day, and then says, hey, Darren, I want you to be a conduit of expressing that and showing that and living that out to other people so they too can experience this love, this light, this hope. The beginning of the good news about Jesus. Here's the word Jesus that shows up. We've sung a lot about Jesus this morning. It's a good thing. At PBCC, we are unashamedly about Jesus. Jesus is why we're here. Jesus is why we exist. The name Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua was a big figure in Israel's history, helping rescue and save God's people from destruction. The name Jesus, or Joshua, means Yahweh, the name of the Lord saves, or Yahweh is salvation. And so the name of Jesus tells us something very important about his identity and what he does and who he is. He saves us from sin, and he frees us to experience a transformed life with purpose, meaning, and significance that has ripple effects across the world. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. There's this phrase, this term, Messiah. Messiah was prophesied in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures, and this was someone to bring hope and relief from oppression and reestablish the people of God in a very good place. And for many of God's people, they thought political power and victory. That's why they were so disappointed when Jesus was crucified. They were like, this was a failure. He was supposed to be our king. And now he's dead. But God is more interested in who we are becoming as new and transformed people. Jesus knew the way of his kingdom was the way of death and sacrifice that brought life, healing, and transformation for everyone. It was a different kind of kingdom. It was not built on power and armies and physical forces. It was built upside down, with the force and the power of unconditional, extravagant, forgiving, compassionate love that transforms us at the core. This, friends, is good news. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited one. He's not only the one who saves us, but he is the new messianic king who issues a decree of euangelion, a decree of good news which redefines what life is all about and how we are to live as subjects of that great kingdom. This is the beauty of Messiah. This is the beauty of King, Messianic King, and the implications for our lives. The last phrase here, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Mark's gospel opens and closes with this title. It shows up here in verse 1, and it shows up at the very end of the story when the soldier witnesses Jesus' death and looks up and says, "Surely this was the Son of God." Mark is intentional here with his use of Son of God. Why is this important? Because Son of God is a divine designation given to Jesus. Mark wants to make it clear the beginning and the end, in many ways, the Alpha and the Omega wrapped up in Jesus. That he is the Son, the exact representation of the Father while maintaining his own unique divine personhood. And so there you have it. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. With one simple verse, Mark begins his story about the life, ministry, and teachings of Jesus. It's a simple verse, but its meaning is packed with incredibly significant words. Again, I don't think it could have been possible for Mark to have shared a more powerful opening verse to set up his gospel than this opening verse. This great story, he has laid the foundation for this great story that he will now usher us into. We are about to experience, friends, as we read and explore the good news according to Mark, we are about to experience the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. Sometimes we can just grow used to that. Oh, it's a gospel account. Many of us have read the gospel accounts. We need reminding. I need reminding to go back to Jesus, to go back to the life and ministry of Jesus, because everything starts and ends there. It is a great story. And so, as we wrap up this morning, Mark's gospel begins with a very clear focus. It emphasizes the beginning of a new reality, a new kingdom, a new way of living rooted in the life and teachings of the greatest human being that ever walked the planet. This divine human, Jesus, shows us the very nature and character of the God who is the greatest lover of the souls of humanity. That is God's nature, a great lover of the souls of each person. Mark will challenge us to not only believe what Jesus teaches, but to do what Jesus says and what Jesus does. Friends, that's what a disciple is. In Jesus' day, his disciples watched Jesus with an eye to replicate Jesus. That's what rabbis taught. That was the expectation. A tall order to replicate Jesus. Jesus knows that. Jesus says, "Don't fear, I will be with you. My spirit will empower you. I will live in you to transform you, to live and to operate like me in this world." That is great hope. That is good news. And so Mark will challenge us to not only believe what Jesus teaches, but to do what he does in order to experience fullness of life so that others might experience fullness of life as well. The good news of Jesus, friends, is never meant to be just for you. It is meant to transform you so that you might be an agent of transformation in the lives of others. If we are rooted in the life teachings and the person of Jesus himself, we are headed in the right direction and on the way to experiencing a life of teaching or life of transformation. As a result, by intentionally studying the life and teachings of Jesus, asking that the Holy Spirit would transform us through those teachings, staying rooted in Jesus, we will begin to manifest the fruits of the Spirit as God's indwelling presence recreates us into being Jesus people for the sake of our world. There was a lot there that I just said. Let me say it again. Intentionally studying the life and teachings of Jesus and asking the Holy Spirit to transform us through those teachings as we remain rooted and connected in consistency with Jesus in those places, we will begin to manifest God's fruit in our lives and God's indwelling presence will recreate us into Jesus people for the sake of the world. Do you realize that your current life has been created for a new beginning? Have you begun that journey of a new beginning? And are you growing and being transformed in that journey? If you are stagnant in your walk with Jesus, go back to Jesus. Go back to the scripture of Jesus. Read the teachings of Jesus. Ask Jesus to form you through what you're learning and reading, to change you and to look and to live more like the person that has shown you as the second Adam, the new human that models and exemplifies for us what God intends for us is wrapped up in the life of Jesus. And it's not a new beginning, friends, that starts and stops. Our new beginning is intended to continue and to mature and to develop. So no matter where you are in that journey this morning, a new beginning is good news for all of us. Every day is a new beginning in our journey of transformation. Will you ask Jesus to form you more into his image and likeness? And will you develop a daily rhythm to learn from Jesus each day? How do we do that? How do we build in a routine to learn from Jesus each day? I want to suggest three things here as we wrap up this morning. Ask, learn, and act. The first one, ask. Ask Jesus to form you more and more into his image and likeness each day. Asking for his daily transformation. I tell people all the time, because it's something that I do all the time, if you need something, ask. Ask Jesus for what you need. I'm struggling with loving my neighbor. I'm struggling with this problem at work or at home or whatever the situation is. The starting place is to ask. Ask Jesus to enter. He's already there with you, but give him the opportunity through your own personal sacrifice of will to engage that opportunity with you, to give you wisdom and guidance. And so ask. I'll ask the band to come on up as I share these last two. The first is to ask. The second is learn. Endeavor to learn from Jesus each day. Read Jesus. Ask Jesus to help you apply what you read. This is not rocket science for any of us. But friends, be prepared to be stretched. When you ask Jesus to help you apply what he's teaching, we will be stretched. And then thank Jesus for the blessing of being aware of a model for how to live. Do you ever stop for a moment and think about that? With an eye of gratitude and thanksgiving, that we actually get a snapshot into the life and ministry of Jesus, that we can actually read about what he said and what he did. And we're looking at this person and we're seeing a blueprint for God's design for humanity, for how we are to live as Jesus people. Thank Jesus for that. Thank him for the gift of the scriptures and the stories that it shares with us about who Jesus is and what he did and what we're called to as his people. And then lastly, so ask, learn, and the last one is act. Find ways to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around you and those in need. This will often be inconvenient for us. It won't make sense. It'll stretch us to have our eyes open to see, how might I be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around me today? We heard a lot talked. Jill shared quite a bit about our children's ministry coming up. this summer for volunteering in our summer kids summer camp. Maybe for some of you, that's an easy next step. It's already started. The process is already laid out. And what's really key, as you heard Jill share, is that so many of the children that come are representative of families that are around in our apartments next door, different religious upbringings all around us. We have the opportunity to act, to serve, to demonstrate the love and the grace of Jesus. That may be a simple, low-hanging fruit opportunity that some of you may be compelled to. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we do thank you and praise you for this day. We thank you for showing us how to live. We thank you for loving us, for giving us second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances. We fall on our face and get back up, and you pick us up, dust us off, and put your arm around us and say, hey, Darren, let's keep going. I got you. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for demonstrating your love for us by saying, you know, you're worth it to me. I don't want you to live in death. I want you to experience life in my spirit, and I want you to be an ambassador of grace to those around you, just as I am to you. And so, Jesus, would you help us as we begin this series in Mark, as we look at your life and teachings, would you give us an eye towards not looking at these things as maybe elementary stories that we may have read or learned and have, some of us maybe have known for decades? Would you give us a fresh eye to look at them through the lens of the people that you're calling us to become, the people that you're transforming us to look like, as we see in you? And we thank you for your Spirit, who does not leave us alone, but lives and resides within us to help us look and to live more like you each day. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you to receive this benediction as we're aware of our call to be disciples of Jesus. Receive these words from Jude, verses 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you, to keep all of us, from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, Jesus Messiah, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday. God bless you all. Happy Mother's Day.